Our first lesson this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 31. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an ear, an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, and he chose. If all were a single member, there would the body be. So it is. There are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice with it. Now you are the body of the Christ and individual members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? So do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret, but strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. If you are able, please stand for the gospel lesson. Our gospel lesson this morning comes from Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 21. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the seventh day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." So ends the gospel reading.
May God bless the reading, hearing, receiving, and living out of God's word among the people of God this morning. Good morning. We are moving through the midpoint of our sermon series here at Glenmar on our new single church-wide objective for 2010, growing deeper to reach wider. We are in the season of Epiphany, the season of light and illumination, And hopefully it is beginning to dawn on all of us what this means. That not only has the light of the world, the Son of God, come, but we are made in the image of God. We remember who we are, baptized into life with Christ and community. And last week, remember that we are given spiritual gifts. All of our messages are supporting the single statement in this time of growing deeper to reach wider. This focus on a single, simple, uniting thing around which to align our ministries and missions is not unlike what the Apostle Paul is saying to the church at Corinth in our letter this morning to the Corinthians. He says, there's one thing that pulls you together. Even though you've got spiritual gifts like Mandy talked about last week, he says, that's not what makes you spiritual, church. What makes you spiritual is your unity in the community around the one Spirit. Remember your Spirit. So today's message focuses on that unifying Spirit. It's the one that makes us, as we hear in our communion liturgy, one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to the whole world. This one Spirit ministers to us and to one another in very real ways, Paul says, by caring and sharing and honoring one another. See, the church in Corinth was in dissension. They were fighting among themselves over a lot of things, over who was important, what gifts were essential and prominent to the mission of the church, whether someone was Jewish or Greek, free or a slave, rich or poor, to determine who was in and who was out based on who they were, what they had, or what their function was. But Paul says, in Christ, those things are not important. He says it's the Spirit that makes us one, that no matter who you are, a new definition is that baptized in the Spirit, you belong to Christ. As a child of God, you're a living member of His body by the Spirit. There's no distinction about where you grew up, who your parents were, what degree you've earned, what skills and functions you have. It's part of God's plan for each to be different and to be part of the body. Paul says in verse 18, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each of them, as He chose. We are chosen to be here. We are chosen as part of God's plan to be part of one another and part of something bigger than ourselves. God has arranged this purposely. The people gathered here are the people we are meant to be part of. Even if we're not folks who would run into each other in our neighborhoods, or work together, that in everyday life, by the Spirit, we're connected. When we gather here, we're united on purpose to rub elbows with one another, and not just as a greeting during the flu season. And Paul says, even if we do bump heads, lock horns once in a while, remember your Spirit. It is the same in each of us. I had the privilege of going to high school where my parents went to high school, in Catonsville. And there was a coach at high school who exemplified this desire to unite people in a common spirit. And The same coach that coached my dad ended up coaching some of my friends in high school in football and lacrosse. And one of my friends likes to tell this story, and I've heard it several times, but it goes like this, that one day the football team was up against one of our great rivals. And on the football team, passion was high, and the guys were starting to argue over who was going to be the most important, essential part of the team for winning that day. And they started to argue. And this being the very late 1970s, I'm sorry to say the argument disintegrated into even some racial conflict and tension. Well, when Coach Demands heard that, he would have none of it. And he ran out onto the field in the midst of this mayhem, and he said, "Listen up. Knock it off, you guys. There's only one color on this team, and that's blue and gold." And the guys stopped because, first of all, that's two colors, and laughed. But then they had an epiphany. The light went off. They got it. Their coach ran into the middle of dissension and said, "Pay attention. Remember what's important. Remember your school spirit, the thing that holds you all together. It's the same in each of you." See, the world says, be yourself, be individualized. Scripture says, be aware you live in the midst of others. The world says, look out for number one. Scripture says, look out for, honor even, the parts that seem least important. The world says, confront, compete, conquer. Scripture says, connect, cooperate, care. And Paul's message was consistent. When he wrote to the church at Ephesus, he says to that church, "I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Bearing with one another in love, make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." There's one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all, above and through and in all. Consistently, the Apostle Paul tells the church, the body of Christ, that our best, healthiest body is recognizing that we need each other and all its parts. By the Spirit, we are the body of Christ for a purpose, to minister to one another, to become a community that accepts and honors and cares about all the members of the body. And that this isn't just some mystical, invisible means of support, but that this Spirit takes the form of hands and feet and eyes and ears that interact with one another in real, tangible ways to care, to suffer alongside, and to celebrate together. That as parts of the body, we are the way the world experiences the honor and compassion of Christ. And that we're not just some random collection of people. That we're created for a purpose, purposely. That we are meant to connect and care for one another. Our Glenmar symbol, logo, is a tree. And you see there that we have the branches above the ground and the roots below. Well, this year, in this season, our tree is called to grow deeper, to reach wider. One of my colleagues in ministry brought this illustration to me in a devotion this week. He shared with me the discovery that trees have made an alliance with one another through this amazing microscopic fungi. That underneath the typical tree, the roots go about halfway down into the ground, about half the distance that they reach up into the sky. And that the roots reach about twice as wide as the breadth of the tree does above the ground. Now, when two tree roots touch, usually a battle for conquering one over the other starts, unless this fungus is present. And that this fungus, living on the roots of the tree underground, even between trees of different species, connect and help each other. That a tree that is shaded can draw strength from the sunlight of another tree through this fungus. Thanks to this fungus, the scientist who discovered it says, it could be that a whole forest is linked together in community. That if one tree has access to water, and another tree to nutrients, and a third one to sunlight, the trees apparently can share with one another. We can't exist alone and be our fullest without honoring and respecting the least among us, without paying attention to the well-being of all the parts of the body of Christ. Paul says, in fact, without caring for others. He says in verse 24 that God has arranged it that way, that we are meant to care for one another. And that's why Scripture says, if one part suffers, we suffer all together. Community, the church suffered an earthquake 11 days ago. It was already the poorest part of the body. And that poor earth-shaken church is connected to the church that has AIDS and the church that has cancer and the church that is abused and addicted and depressed and lost its job last year. This world is not different from the world that our Lord was born into. Oh, some of the circumstances were different and the diseases had different names. But Jesus came and said in the gospel, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And now, by that same Spirit, the one that makes us one with Christ and one with each other, the same Spirit that gave power to Jesus to speak those words, the body of Christ at Glenmar and worldwide are called to participate in that same mission, giving all we've got to give hope to the poor. To name the power and oppression that holds people in bondage. Declare that people can be free. To open the eyes of those who need to see. And to rejoice every time we honor that. Proclaim that joy comes in the morning. That hope lives and suffering is relieved by the same body. that there are times when debt is canceled and land is restored, and that all of these good things are of the Lord and worthy to be praised. Glenmar Church, you responded last week in a big and beautiful way to the church suffering in poverty from the devastation of an earthquake to the tune of $18,000. Thanks be to God. And by creating health kits that can be shipped and sent to care for the people whose suffering is going to go on for a long time. As we care for and honor the humblest, as well as the most powerful members of our community, we become healthier. As we grow deeper in our connection with God and one another by one Spirit, we are one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to the whole world. And we're continuing in that until Christ comes again. I have a poem that hangs on the wall in my family room, and I wrote it up here today to share with you. Would you read it with me in one voice as the closing for today's message? We are a family born in the mind of God eons before our physical existence became a reality. He carefully planned every detail of our being, the color of our eyes and hair, a dimple here, a freckle there, making us unique individuals who would fit perfectly into his plan for our family. He did not create our diverse personalities to push us into conflict, but to give balance to our lives by drawing from each other's strengths as well as complementing each other's weaknesses, knowing we would need each other to accomplish his special purpose for our lives. He wove certain traits and characteristics into each of us to benefit the entire family. As we place our complete trust in the Lord, he helps us grow, nurture, share, and love. Thanks be to God. Amen.